Blog Talk Radio.
Fans, this is QT Votes with you on another Sunday. Sign Guy is on assignment today and won't be with us. What is this assignment, you ask? He is the minister of ceremonies, if you will, minister of ceremonies, at Granite's wedding, a huge day for Granite. Now, you might be asking, who is on with us today? Well, he is the manager, player businessman, and thousandaire extraordinaire. He should be with us shortly. I'll give you a clue. He has had his tickets confirmed, and he will be making his way back to the Northwest, and we shall see him again at 1317 Republican Street in Seattle on July 14th at Combat Pro Wrestling Round 13. We're talking about a man who has graced Evolve Fitness before and has given the man, Ric Flair, a run for his money in styling and profiling. And some in the Northwest would say that he talked Ric Flair a thing or two before he hit the big time. Yes. Okay. I will let you guess who this is we have coming on, should be with us shortly, like I mentioned. In the meantime, I would like to read a foreword in a book that I have been reading called The Future Is Now, NXT, by Vincent K. McMahon. This is the foreword. Yes, very interesting. Okay, you should be on shortly. Okay. When my son-in-law, Paul Levesque, first described his dream to cultivate the superstars of tomorrow, and you could say about the person that we have coming on, yes, I could not imagine the revolution that lay ahead. The NXT brand that started as a grassroots training ground has far surpassed its role and has become a movement among WWE fans around the world. Within just a few short years, the WWE universe has witnessed the creation of an epicenter for innovation, the WWE Performance Center, and within its walls, the development of a brilliant future. There, NXT has bred some of the most impressive competitors and matches of this era. It has attracted world-class talent from every stretch of the globe. It has also forged a strong bond with Full Sail University and its students, providing an opportunity to develop not only our performers, but also the next wave of producers and professionals, a community. For a glimpse into this transformation, look no further than the many successful stars of today, many of whom have graduated from their days at NXT's remarkable athletes to become celebrated champions on WWE's roster of globally recognized superstars. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Paige, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, the tremendous growth and progress made in Orlando can be easily measured by the accolades of these diverse and talented competitors and so many others. NXT alumni have competed on the grandest stage of them all at WrestleMania, inspired a Divas Revolution, and carried our richest prize, the WWE Championship. NXT has produced the generation of the WWE's greatest superstars and beyond. When Paul chose his destiny outside the ring in WWE, I knew to expect great things. I believed in his mission the day the doors first opened at the Performance Center and the night a new NXT debuted. Today, I watch in admiration of Paul's commitment to this most impressive, innovative initiative to shape our future. And I look forward to seeing this groundbreaking division flourish for many decades to come. I also hope that someone who can flourish decades to come is Y.T. Jones, Y period T period Jones. He should be on shortly. In the meantime, I would like to read you another passage from this fantastic book, The Future is Now, NXT. This happens on page 93. And it's in this chapter, chapter 7, is called Road Warriors. After NXT arrival, WWE's development system was not only on the map, it was trending worldwide. The Performance Center was up and running, the coaching staff was in place, and new recruits were being brought in from around the world for tryouts. But Paul Levesque wanted more. Vince McMahon had asked for quarterly specials, but Levesque wondered how his team would perform outside of Orlando. The fans inside Full Sail were as loud as could be, but how would the WWE Universe react if the NXT crew popped up in other cities? That's a very good question. Very good. Okay. In December 2014, NXT held the special event Takeover, Our Evolution at Full Sail to critical acclaim. The show was monumental, not only for the NXT championship won by Sami Zayn, but also because the whole program was so well received. Levesque received an offer for NXT to hold a live event at the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio. Our Evolution was named because it was the evolution of NXT, says Levesque. It was a revolution, but it was also our evolution into something more. It was received so well and the fan base was so positive about it, we came out of that with a play at the Arnold Classic. After our evolution, we went from the best kept secret to a show everybody was talking about. I felt that was like the show that pushed us from being developmental to being a brand. That night, we were either going to remain a developmental operation or we were going to make a statement that we've evolved into something else. That is the night when we moved on from being just a developmental territory. Takeover, Our Evolution was headlined by Zayn's championship with win. Is that a win or a win? Oh, yeah, win over Neville. A thrilling match between Charlotte and Sasha Banks, the debut of Kevin Owens, and a tag team match that saw the team of Finn Balor and Hideo Itami take on the Ascension, Connor and Victor. Right after our evolution, we went on to the Arnold Classic. We put a show on sale right before the Arnold Classic in Columbus, and we sold out the 1,500-seat Avenue the venue in minutes, says Levesque, and this was based on social media alone. We didn't even promote it. The next night, we put on a show in Cleveland, and we sold that out as well. That's when we started to realize, wow, we're really selling some tickets here. With WrestleMania 31 fast approaching, Vince McMahon asked Levesque to think about running a one-off NXT event the night before Mania in San Jose, which was about 8 miles away from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Ooh, now that Santa Clara is a nice city. Yes. Well, that's not in the book. That's just my comment, Santa Clara. Okay. And I hope they're having progress with the wildfires. Santa Clara, bad news there. Okay. Why don't you look at doing a show that weekend, said McMahon to Levesque. We have all those fans in that weekend, and NXT will be a big part of fan access. But why don't we see how it will do with a show of its own? Quickly agreed a show at the San Jose Event Center, an area he had performed at when he was on the main roster, but in the back of his mind, he was nervous about filling the 5,000-seat arena. However, His nervousness quickly disappeared as soon as tickets went on sale, and again, sold out almost immediately. Well, yeah, my nervousness would also disappear. That's a lot of money, a lot of bling, as YT Jones would say, and hopefully YT will be on here pretty quick. Okay, the show became one of the most buzzed about things all weekend, said Levesque. It was the event you had to be at. Main roster stars were there. Rollins was there. Cesaro was there. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Shawn Michaels came. And Stephanie and Vince came. And it was insane. The energy in that place was insane. People from Live Nation came. People from promotions in Japan came. And it just took on this whole life of its own. Now, at this time, I would like anyone that would like to call in and inform me what Live Nation was. Yes, I'm not sure. Okay. We came out of that San Jose event as a massive success, and that just laid the foundation for what was to become. Yes. And when you're building a house, you got to have a strong foundation. Yes. Just thought I'd throw that in. Okay. NXT is a brand, and there was no better proof in the pudding than when we walked into the arena in San Jose in front of 5,200 people. Enzo Amore. Fans were going crazy, chanting every single word in my promo with me. That's Enzo Amore. Yes. Okay. 5,200 people yelling, S-A-W-F-T. We held out the microphone, and they spelled it out for us. Then you got out of the ring and walked back through the curtain, and you saw Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall, X-Pac, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and even Vince McMahon was in the house that night, just sitting there. And they're talking to everybody about what we did in the ring that night, how special it was, and the growth. It doesn't even seem real. It's one thing to be recognized in the grocery store. It's one thing to hear your friend and family telling you how proud they are of you. But it's a whole other animal when you walk into an arena like that. You got to take a step back and say, we're part of something special here at NXT. Just a few months later, Levesque decided to push the boundaries even further. He first inserted the Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens NXT Championship match into a WWE live event from Japan entitled The Beast from the East, a move that established his stars alongside main roster icons Brock Lesnar and John Cena, and then booked the next NXT live broadcast in August 2015, the same weekend as SummerSlam. Boy, it's hard to believe that's 3 years ago. Okay. What he didn't realize at the time was that NXT was about to appear in the same arena as SummerSlam itself. That's kind of like combat pro wrestling. Yes, in Seattle. Okay. We were supposed to be at the Izod Center, then Izod shut down, says Levesque. Vince said, I really want you to put an NXT show somewhere to make it a more attractive week to the WWE Universe. We were putting SummerSlam in the Barclays Center on Sunday, Monday Night Raw, in there on Monday, and we were going to run a smaller venue down the road on Friday or Saturday. I don't remember who first said it, but somebody said, why don't you guys just run Barclays? I kind of scoffed at first because I was like, you're out of your mind. Absolutely not. That's a huge venue. They came back and said, you know, it's not beyond reasonable. It's a scalable building. We can scale it down to about 6,000 seats. And I thought, well, we sold over 5,000 for San Jose. Maybe it is reasonable. I have to admit, though, I had mixed emotions about it because I wanted to keep the underground feel of what we did. I didn't want to become too big, too fast, and bite off more than we could chew. Part of the success of NXT is that it's counter. It's different. It's underground. It feels down and dirty, just as it should be. I didn't want to lose that, but as the prospect became more and more real, I thought, well, we could do Barclays, and we could scale it down and see. We started the pre-sale, which was very, very limited. And after one day of the pre-sale, we had sold just about everything we had put out there. I sent a note to Michelle Wilson, our chief marketing officer, to give her the ticket sales for the day. And she said, wow, do you think we'll be able to hit the 5,000 mark? And I remember thinking, if I don't hit 5,000, then there's a serious problem because we haven't even put tickets on sale yet. And I was starting to wonder whether or not I could sell out Barclays. But at the same time, I was trying to keep everyone's expectations under control because I didn't want to sell 10,000 tickets and have everybody disappointed and say, oh man, I really thought it'd sell out. Everybody was talking about a sellout, but I was trying to manage expectations. I just kept saying, look, I'll be thrilled if we sold 6,000, thrilled if it's 10,000. I do backflips. When tickets went on sale to the public, sales went through the roof, 6,000, then 10,000. He should be doing backflips by then. Yes, okay. Finally, all 13,000-plus tickets in the Barclays Centers were sold for NXT Saturday Night Super Show. It's amazing. I'm still flabbergasted by it, says Levesque. It's on some markets internationally, but it is primarily driven by the WWE Network, which is an amazing platform. But when you consider the reach of the WWE Network versus the reach of the USA Network or another channel on broadcast television, it's small. It's the WWE Network, Hulu, and social media, and really that's it. So far, most of our ticket sales have come from social media, and it's one of the things that's really cool. We've not spent much promoting these shows because it's just word of mouth on social media. That's why I put on the hashtag pound we are NXT, because as much as the WWE universe driving NXT success as it is us, we're putting this out there. But they're telling us what to put out, and they're loving it. So I feel that we are all NXT. But it still blows my mind. It is kind of surreal that in 2 years, we took this little developmental thing that had 10 people going to show in a warehouse in Florida to a sold-out show in New York City. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Well, I don't know about New York City. I mean, it is home to Katz's Deli. Yeah, I send a salami to your boy in the Army. Yes, that's where they filmed Harry Met Sally. But I digress. Okay, here we go. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but in New York City, 13,000 seats is amazing. Boy, out of all that population that they have? Oh, okay, let me see. Okay, and on top of that, I don't know of too many acts in the entertainment world that can go into any building anywhere in the world and sell out 3 days back to back to back. But Saturday night, NXT Sunday SummerSlam and Monday Night Raw were all in the same building and sold out. That speaks volumes for the WWE. It's awesome. YT Jones hasn't shown up. I'll keep a sharp eye out. Okay. It's awesome, continues Levesque, and it's not just the one moment. It's another step in our growth. We tried the Arnold, wherever the Arnold is. I guess that's a building in Oakland. Okay. We did San Jose, we did Brooklyn, and we did well in all of them. It continues to grow, and we're clearly established now as our own brand. If you would have said to me that after 2 years we'd be able to go to Brooklyn and perform in front of over 10,000 screaming fans, I would have told you that you were crazy, says Terry Taylor. We have over 30 people from the Performance Center on Raw and SmackDown Live, so that proves that what we're doing is already working. I think faster than anyone expected. We're churning out talent, and that's making WWE better and making the business better. All these kids are able to live their dream. It's phenomenal to be part of this company right now. I've been in territories that were about to go out of business, and I was also in the middle of the Monday Night War, and NXT has this special feeling, almost like when the NWO and DX were on top. This era has something magical to it, and it's only going to get better. Well, that's kind of like YT Jones at Combat Pro Wrestling. Yes. Okay. Think about it. We're supposed to be developmental, but Triple H has created a competitive brand that has screaming fans clamoring to watch and spend their money on merchandise and tickets. If you're a fan of NXT, you're going to become a fan of WWE when these guys get called up. You're going to follow that talent. WWE and NXT build on each other. There's this wonderful synergy, and it gives the WWE universe more options to watch that kind of show they like. I think that it's a fantastic opportunity. And when that Saturday night was all said and done, NXT TakeOver, Brooklyn had brought down the house. The event featured the debut of Apollo Crews and the only WWE match in Justin Thunder Liger's legendary career. Justin Thunder Liger's. Liger is a cross between a lion and a tiger. Liger, I think. Yes. Okay. However, the event is mostly remembered for two matches so spectacular. They stole not only the NXT show, but also the entire weekend. Even during Sunday's SummerSlam, fans throughout the arena were still talking about Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks, and Bayley. Sasha Banks is a tough customer. Okay. Finn and I hadn't known each other for very long. We first met in May 2014, right before we both got here, remembers Owens. We were on the same show in England, and we both knew we were coming here. I think for the first few months we were here, we kind of leaned on each other because we both didn't know what to expect. And we got pretty close. From the moment I first saw him in England to now, one thing I admired was the connection he has with the crowd and his uniqueness. The whole painting thing started in Japan quite a while ago, but even beyond the paint, during his last few months on the independent scene before he got to NXT, he would take on different characters and create these special moments. And I think that that dual personality of Finn and the Demon all comes together. He gives the WWE Universe something they have never seen before. And the match didn't disappoint. From the Demon's entrance to the high-stakes finish that saw Balor winning in brutal fashion, Balor, he won, thanks to a couple of super kicks to the jaw and a coup de grace double foot stomp from the top of the ladder. I think I've seen J.B. Moonshine do that, yes. Okay, Seth Rollins adds, the ladder match stood out for a variety of reasons. It was an encapsulation of NXT over the last year and what it has become. You look at these two guys, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, who have made names for themselves outside of the WWE realm, and now they're in our universe and they're main eventing our show on our network in front of a sold-out crowd in the sports entertainment capital of the world. I think they're still talking about New York. You look at what that means for our industry, not just for the WWE, but for our whole industry and what is possible moving forward, as opposed to what was possible 5 years ago. And you realize it's groundbreaking. It's very cool to see someone like Triple H basically open his mind, open the horizon to what NXT can become and what WWE can become. It's very indicative of that. The main event was incredible. To see guys I've known for years who I know have a passion get an opportunity that they wouldn't have had 5 or 10 years ago. To be given that stage and applauded for their efforts and not held down is a huge leap forward for everyone. But for Rollins, while the guys put on a spectacular show, the woman might have even one-upped them. I was able to watch Bayley versus Sasha from the front row, he says. I hadn't watched a live match as a spectator in the crowd since 2004. So for me, that was really special. Between the video package and the opening announcements of the match, oh, wait a second. I think we have someone. It could be YT. Okay. Let's see. Yes, this is Turnbuckle Turmoil. Who do you have on from the 907 area code?
This is Y. Period T. Period Jones. And it's Taya. businessman and thousandaire extraordinaire in the flesh, sir. How are you?
Oh, very good. I was just reading The Future Is Now, NXT, a foreword by Vincent K. McMahon. You kind of remind me of Vincent K. McMahon. Yes.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Yes. Now, YT, I believe you have your tickets confirmed, and you will be making your way back to the Northwest, and we shall see you again at 1317 Republican Street in Seattle on July 14th at Combat Pro Wrestling Round 13. Am I right?
Yes, sir. You are very correct.
Well, YT, you remind me about a man who has graced Evolve Fitness. Oh, yes. That was another sentence. Sorry, I was reading from that NXT and my eyes got blurry. I say that have given us a present that reminds me of Rick. You gave Ric Flair a run for his money in styling and profiling. You are to this day. And some in the Northwest would say that you taught Ric Flair a thing or two. Could I be right in this assessment?
Well, I wish I could say I taught Ric Flair a thing or two, but I kind of got my style from him and a few other people. But, you know, that dressing for success, that's one of the places where I got it from was Ric Flair and, you know, Teddy Long and everybody else who always dressed for success. That was always my thing that I looked at, you know. So it's like I want to dress for success. So
out of all the people that Teddy Long managed, who was your favorite?
Ron Simmons. My favorite tag team he did was Doom with Butch Reed and Ron Simmons.
Oh, now Ron Simmons, didn't he play football for Florida State?
Yes, sir.
Wow, and I think Ron Simmons could bench press 390 pounds five times in a row.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I seen a video of him doing it.
Wow. Well, YT, I just got a word on message that the Phoenix Kid who is on the East Coast says hi.
Well, hello, yeah. Mr. Phoenix Kid, and I want to congratulate Phoenix Kid for surviving his hardcore match. You know, those matches, I'm going to be honest with you, they freak me the hell out. But if it's one thing that I always tell my client, if there's something that you want to do, I will never stand in your way. The only thing that I ask is that you be safe. And I'm seriously happy that he succeeded in, you know, chasing his dream of hardcore wrestling. And he actually got a please come back from the fans. So obviously he didn't do too bad. So.
Wow, that's true. Okay. Well, now, Sign Guy is on assignment today, and he's not going to be joining us. He is the minister of ceremonies at Granite's wedding, a huge day for the wrestling.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yes, Sign Guy's a certified minister, or a minister of ceremonies, wedding. Yes.
Oh, okay. He's a minister rep? That is awesome.
Yes. Yes, he has his license, wedding license. Yes. Okay. Well, YT, is it true that Herman Nerdstrom has a 1972 Cadillac Eldorado like Walt Frazier of the New York Knicks used to have? Herman Nerdstrom.
Heck yeah, I bought it for him. You know, you understand that the romantic nerds are a part of the Pimp Nation, right?
Oh, yes. I was well aware of that, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. That was one of my presents to the romantic nerds, you know?
Holy smokes. Wow, that costs a lot of bling.
Hey, when it comes to my clients, money is not a thing. I am a thousandaire extraordinaire, sir.
Now, it's also rumored that you have managed some Northwest wrestlers that have been ranked in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Have you yourself been ranked in Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
I have not, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't concern myself with the rankings. The only thing I concern myself with is getting better at what I do and making sure that my clients are being seen, heard, and doing their thing in the ring. You know, I'm not trying to sound disrespectful or nothing, but I really don't pay the top 100 any attention whatsoever.
Do you believe that your ability to promote your wrestlers will sometime land them with a future shot at NXT, a book I was reading from?
Of course. I believe that my abilities can get my clients anywhere that they choose to be, whether it be Ring of Honor, WWE, NXT, Raw, SmackDown. It doesn't matter. I believe that my abilities can get them where they want to be, when they want to be there.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, Mr. Jones, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington tell me that after graduating from the mean streets of Wasilla, Alaska, that you were bestowed upon the degree of Doctorate of Pimpology, of which you graduated summa cum laude, or graduate with the highest honors. My question is, with every degree comes undergraduate courses that one must take or jump through to get your final degree or goal. My question is, was one of your undergraduate courses to this degree of Doctorate of Pimpology a seminar entitled The Underappreciated Role of Huggy Bear in the Action Series Starsky and Hutch and the Rise of the Original OG Sprinkle?
You know, I took that class twice because I liked it so much.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, indeed. You really do your homework on a pimp, and I am happy to hear that.
Oh, yes, I'm always pimping, yes. In my own way.
Yes, you are.
Now, to our fans that...
Now, real quick, before you ask me another question, I want to clear something up real quick. Now, a lot of people, they don't like, you know, they think of sex trafficking and all that. That's not what I'm about. You see, I would never pimp something that I came out of. When I call myself a pimp, I am simply stating that I am a player in management position. Nothing more, nothing less. That is exactly what a pimp is to me.
Oh, well, I have many questions and quotes about pimps that I won't use then. My qualification, can you say that once again? It's a player? You can refer yourself to as a player?
I am a player in management position, P-I-M-P.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here I just crossed out the word pimp, management position. Okay, here we go, position. Wow, this is quite the correction. Okay. Here we go, a question that I had. Is it to a player in management positions advantage to play one hoe against the next? You don't want them to be friends. You want them to distrust and dislike one another so that you end up controlling them all. Would you say this also applies to tag teams?
You know, that's funny you asked me that because I have honorary members in the Pimp Nation that go by the name of, excuse me real quick. Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. I had somebody knocking on my door. They go by the name of Mint Conditioning, and they kind of called me out for signing the Romantic Nerds, but I told them, hey, everybody has a spot in the Pimp Nation, and if you guys happen to have to fight, hey, at least you're fighting amongst each other, and if there's a championship on the line, at least the championship stays in the Pimp Nation. You see, there's nothing wrong with a little friendly competition between, you know, my faction every once in a while.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, for our listeners who are just tuning in and who are new to the show, can you tell us, YT Jones, who Mint Conditioning is and who their manager is?
Mint Conditioning, they are a tag team based out of Seattle, Washington. It's Mr. Fitness and Christian Andes, and the Kiwi Adonis is their manager.
Okay, all right. I thought at the very beginning he was known as Kiwanis Adonis. He may have changed that title.
No. I like to call him Kiwi.
Oh, well, it kind of looks like he has sometimes ate his weight in Kiwis, and I mean that as a compliment.
Yes. That's funny.
I only I only say that because we recently had the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island, and Joey Chestnut won. And Joey Chestnut has that championship attributes that I kind of see in Kiwanis Adonis.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Oh, okay. Well, YT Jones, you're making your way back, and you're going to be at an event coming up at Combat Pro Wrestling Round 13.
Yes, sir.
Which I mentioned before. Can you tell us whom you might be aligning yourself with? Yes.
Well, I know that the Phoenix Kid's going to be there, so you know I'm going to be with the Phoenix Kid. If the Romantic Nerds are there, you know I'm going to be with the Romantic Nerds. And you never know who else I might just align myself with when I'm there.
Wow. All right. Okay. And shortly after that, can you tell us about the NSA Pro Wrestling event on July 15th? I believe it's called Bring Forth the Revolution.
Oh, yes. The day after my CPW appearance, to fly back home to make an appearance here for Bring Forth the Revolution. Now, there's a lot of things that's been going on. We've had a mystery attacker. You know, I just recently signed AK Lightning to the Pimp Nation, you know, and we're business partners, and everybody has got a target on his chest. And we're here to prove that on Bring Forth the Revolution, that you can paint all the targets you want, but Lightning can strike anytime, anywhere, and he's going to strike your dreams down in flames.
Wow. Now, I'm sure that AK Lightning didn't come very cheap. Yes. How many concessions did you have to give him?
Too many to mention on this interview, sir.
Did you hear the roll of thunder before Lightning struck?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
That's how you know you're in trouble.
Well, I am a man of science myself. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Mr. Jones, can you tell us about the rubber ducks at the last CPW event? There were rubber ducks.
Yeah, I actually collected one. It's part of someone's gimmick, and it was the oddest thing I had ever seen, but I actually really enjoyed it. You know, it was something different. You know, I had never seen rubber duckies at an event before, and it got over pretty well, so it was different. You know, it wasn't a bad different, it was just different, you know. And like I said, I actually collected one myself.
Now, is it true that Adam Reyes will be taking on CPW champion Cole Crazy at Bring Forth the Revolution? Are there any truths to those rumors?
No, not at Bring Forth the Revolution. No, neither one of those two will be here in Alaska. Those two will be facing each other at CPW's Round 13. At Battleground. That's when those two will be, you know, getting it on. And those two are going to put on a barn burner. So if you are in the CPW area of Seattle, please make sure that you make it to this show. Because this show, like I said before, is going to start out with a bang. And this is not a joke.
Wow. Oh, okay. I have been to those events, and the noise level is great. And you have a top flight announcer in Turnbuckle Turmoil staff member, Dimitri.
Oh, yes. I remember putting him in the corner one time in the ring because he said my name wrong.
What? How could Dimitri ever get your name wrong? How did he pronounce it?
He just, you know, he was just like, he didn't put no excitement to it. He was just like, YT Jones. You know, and I didn't appreciate that. You know, a man of my stature deserves a better entrance than that, you know, a better call out than that. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, now I got to tell you, there's a conspiracy theory floating around YT that Dimitri himself may have been slipped a roofie during that moment before your introduction. A roofie.
You know, I actually sat down and talked with him after the show that night. You know, and I told him that it didn't make me feel good to put a grown man in the corner. And he explained to me that he was roofied. And now we're on pretty good terms as long as he doesn't screw up my name. And I told him never, ever take drinks from a stranger again.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow, yes. Boy. Well, you know, the Ramones had that song, Somebody Put Something in My Drink. Yes, maybe that happened to Dimitri.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right, well, YT, do you have an event coming up on July 28th after you get back from Alaska called? Oh, yes, it is called the Rock and Rally from the Troops. And it's going to take place at Cheney Stadium, I believe.
Yes, sir. You know, that was one of the things. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up sooner or later, but I'm glad you brought it up first. I want everyone to know that I have personally purchased Northwest Pro Wrestling. And the first thing I did when I purchased Northwest Pro Wrestling, I showed up on June 2nd. And I brought Joey Ryan with me to show that I have the ability to bring the star power. And what else did I do? I also got a hold of the Rock and Rally people for the troops, and I got myself a spot secured for a ring at that event, and it's going to be a steel cage match for the ages. There is going to be not one, not two, not three, but about four or five cage matches that night, and it's going to be right in front of Drowning Pool, and I've secured that for my guys because they deserve it.
Wow, we're talking about a major investment here. That's a
yes,
huge
sir.
Amount of money.
Yes, sir.
And I
firmly believe in my company.
You're talking about four or five cage matches? It's a special event and a rare event when
yes,
one
sir.
Cage
you know,
match.
Yes, sir. You know, we do anything we do when it comes to the troops, we do it from the bottom of my heart. We try to give them a show of all shows. We try to leave them with their jaws on the floor because they leave us with our jaws on the floor every time they go out there and they do battle and they come back home safe and sound. And that's the least we could do for them to show that we appreciate them.
Well, I know some of those troops over in Iraq have seen some jaw-dropping situations, and even out at sea, during maybe a tropical system or storm, when they see 17 to 25-foot waves. Your impact of big steel cage matches probably has that effect.
Oh, yes, sir. And for those of you who are squeamish, you might want to sit in the back row. I still want you to come and be squeamish, but just be squeamish in the back because I want you to see exactly what my company has in store.
How long did you negotiate and work out the contracts for your purchase of this event and NPW in particular?
For the NPW purchase, it took me about a month, you know, to get all the paperwork correct and everything and everybody, you know, to where they're feeling they're not getting screwed over anything. And once the papers were signed, my name was on the dotted line. And as far as us getting into the Rock and Rally, it took me about 15 minutes and I showed up in my fur coat and they loved me from the get-go. So they said, you don't have to say anymore, Mr. Jones. Wherever you want to put your ring, you can have your ring.
Wow. Well, the number of rings on your finger remind me of former Beatles drummer Ringo Starr. Have you been in contact with one of these two surviving Beatle members, Ringo Starr?
I wish I could say I have, but I have not. And, you know, I'm still looking forward to getting that phone call.
Oh, okay. Well, if he ever calls into the Turnbuckle Turmoil show, I'll immediately message you. Yes.
Oh, please do.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, now, YT, for those fans that might not be familiar, and I'm sure that this was in your contract, where exactly is Cheney Stadium? Where can the fans go, Cheney Stadium?
Cheney Stadium is a little bit outside of Seattle, Washington, towards like Port Orchard, Washington. So they can find it in that area right there. Like, I don't have
Yeah.
So if they're in the Port Orchard area, it's right there. You can't miss it.
Well, I'd like to tell all our fans
that
they can do a simple map quest. Our fans tend to be at IIQ. Yes, okay. Now, YT, will the Phoenix Kid be there at this event? And will he be competing in a steel cage match? The Phoenix Kid?
Of course. You know, anywhere I go, the Phoenix Kid's going to go. But I'm not showing any type of favoritism to him because when I'm at my company, I'm not a manager of anyone. You know, I made that clear from the get-go. When I am at Northwest Pro, my company, I don't manage anyone. But if you want a chance to be on my show, I will give you a chance to be on my show. And Phoenix Kid has always proved that he wants to be on every show. So it was not even a second thought to put him on the show.
Whoa, all right. And talking about second thoughts, will Sonico Luchador be there?
I'm trying to talk him into it. That's one of my guys as well, and I'm pretty sure he would love to be there. He's a very busy man. He's everywhere.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Jones, would you say you are like Bobby Heenan in the fact that if wrestlers align themselves with you, you will take them straight to the top? Would you agree with this assessment?
I agree with that assessment 100%.
Now, you know, Bobby Heenan, he was a pretty styling player himself. Yes. He dressed in fine suits.
Oh, of course. Honestly, that's where I got my gift to gab from. I got it from Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know, it's a mixture of Bobby the Brain Heenan and Teddy Theodore R. Long, and along with the Doctor of Style Slick. You throw all those three together and you have Y period T.
Wow, that is a combustible combination, yes.
Yes, sir. If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it big.
Well, Mr. Jones, you went to Player Nation High School. Can you tell us what your school colors were and what your mascot was?
School colors was black and white, and our mascot was just a slap hand, just a pimp hand. That's all it was. It was a hand with feet.
A hand? Wow.
Yeah, a pimp hand.
Wow. Well, I know that there's a saying out there that says, keep your pimp hands strong and your girls working long.
Yes, sir. Keep your pimp hands strong, maybe. Keep your pimp hands strong. Now, as far as keep your girls working long, now, see, like I said before, I would never pimp something that I came out of, so I can't really agree with that statement. So, yes,
well,
keep your pimp hands strong. Yes. Yes, but keep your pimp hands strong.
I'd like to see a fan hold that up while you burst through the curtains. That would be very good.
Yeah, that would be something to see. That would be a sight for sore eyes, for real.
Now, I don't know if Yvonne Sieber would like that so much. Maybe not. Okay.
I can talk her into it, you know, we're on very good terms, you know. I love her. She, you know, boss lady, she's the best, so that's what I like to call her. She's boss lady to me.
Well, I tell you, the amount of talent that she has brought in and can select from the Northwest is very impressive. She has very good business credentials.
Yes, she has a mind for the business, which that is the main reason that I love her so much, because she's just not one-dimensional. You know, she's all over the place, not in a bad way, but she's all over the place with it. She is on her stuff. You know, you cannot put one over on her, and that's what I love about her.
Yes, she does have a street sense about her. Yes, sense.
Yes.
Well, YT, you yourself also have a keen eye for talent. If you could travel back in time and contact one of these three wrestlers when they were a freshman in high school, which one would you choose from? If you had these three choices, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the American Dream, Dusty Rose, or Jimmy Wang Yang?
I'm going to have to go with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on this one. You know, I've always been a fan of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. You know, his arm drags are the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen in my life. And if I could have caught him while he was in high school, man, the Pimp Nation would be unstoppable right now. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're unstoppable now, but we would be super unstoppable right now.
Well, you know who reminds me of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is Kane Jaden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like Kane, man. You know, when the time is right, I would like to see him in the Pimp Nation. You know, but right now he's got a lot going on, and, you know, we don't really see eye to eye, and that's okay. You know, sometimes you got to work on people, you know, but I'm going to bring him to the pimp side. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear what you're saying, yes.
Yes.
And what an immense talent he would be. You know, I first saw him when he was still in high school, and he was first starting out at Blue Collar Wrestling at North Exeter in Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Sign Guy and myself would both travel down to see this young teenager.
Hey, well, he must have made a good impression on you if you traveled all the way to see him. So, and he's still doing it to this day, and I'm proud of the guy.
Yes. Now, would you say, he does remind me of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. However, does he also have a part of him that reminds you of a young Goldust?
You know, no, not really. He kind of, you know, like his movements and stuff, he kind of reminds me like of a younger Tyler Breeze, if that makes any sense to you, like his kind of style or whatever, you know. But it's just, I get the Tyler Breeze, you know, vibe from him, you know what I mean? And I dig Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze is freaking awesome. So.
Oh, okay. All right, Tyler Breeze. Okay. All right. Well, Whitey, now managers also have a sixth sense in their head when they sense that physical trouble is coming. However, if you stick around in this game long enough, managers, even the best of them, will be confronted by their opponents. Have you yourself ever been drug in the ring unceremoniously by maybe a man with a lower IQ than yourself, but who was jealous of your attributes?
Well, I can't say that he had a lower IQ than myself, but Mr. Cole Crazy of CPW jacked my jaw with an elbow for no reason one time, and I was just trying to talk to the referee. That is all I was doing. You know, so Cole Crazy, I still remember what you did to my jaw. My jaw still hurts, and don't think that you've gotten away with it by a long shot.
Oh, boy, is there litigation coming up? How do you say that? Litigation. Legal matters coming. Are you planning to sue him in small claims court?
Absolutely not. They don't call me a managed player extraordinaire because I sue people. I take care of my business on my own the way I know how, the best way I can. And he needs not worry about when and where it's going to happen. But, yes, it is going to happen.
Wow. Hey, that's spoken like a true Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch. Yes.
You damn right.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right. Well, YT, I just got a text message asking, QT, can you please ask YT if he himself wrestled in high school?
I did not wrestle in high school.
Oh, okay. Did you play any sports?
I did a little ice hockey, but I really, you know, yeah, believe it or not, I did ice hockey, but I really wasn't all that good at it. So I did it for about 6 months and just was like, nah, I'm good. You know, I tried. And then that's when,
You
know, yeah, you know, but wrestling's always been a big part of my life, though.
Can you remember your earliest memories on TV? We've had several wrestlers mention that they were inspired on TV. They didn't even know what it was, but several wrestlers have said that when they were flipping through channels, some of their earliest memories were watching, like, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, a Heartbreak Kid. Does one wrestler stand out in your mind as an early memory?
As an early memory, I want to say Randy Savage stuck out like a sore thumb to me. I really dig Randy Savage, his intensity and all that. Another guy that really stuck out to me was, of course, Hulk Hogan, you know, because that way, you know, like all the other wrestlers flicking through the channel when you're a kid, I happened to flick through the channel. Saturday morning wrestling was on, and I saw a highlight of Hulk Hogan giving somebody a leg drop. I can't even remember who it was because it was so long ago, and I was instantly hooked on it. I didn't even see but 3 seconds of it, but I was instantly hooked. I was like, I like this, you know? So, and my foster dad, he was kind of upset because he didn't want me to watch it at that time because he was really, like, anti-wrestling. And he's like, oh, great, now I got a wrestling fan in my house and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it turned out good. He actually ended up watching it with me a few times.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, to your knowledge, how many times did Ron Simmons wrestle Hulk Hogan? Ron Simmons.
I don't recall Ron Simmons facing Hulk Hogan. Has he ever faced Hulk Hogan?
I don't know. I myself am going to have to do some research and get back to you on that.
Yeah, that is a good question because I don't recall any videos or any knowledge of Hulk Hogan and Ron Simmons ever, you know, having a one-on-one or even a tag team. And I used to watch a lot of Doom back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Do you recall Ron Simmons wrestling Paul Orndorff?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I remember him facing Vader for the championship as well.
Oh, Big Van Vader, the Mastodon, yes.
Yes, may he rest in peace. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, boy. Well, Paul Orndorff was also I hate to compare the two in toughness, but Paul Orndorff also played football in Florida, Central Florida,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, YT, I have a quote from Mr. Devotion. He said, if one of your girls don't want to play right, put her on the bench. If she wants to get back in the game, make that hole buy you a new leather trench. Yes, well, that,
now,
somehow that just stuck out at me.
Okay, now see, when my clients aren't acting right, yes, I do bench them. You know, and if they want to prove to me that they want to get back in that ring, they have to work hard at it and prove to me that they're going to do the right thing in that ring so they don't get benched again.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And just for the record, I'm going to resend you that quote on your Facebook page. Yes.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And the Notorious Big on his Nasty Boy Life After Death album said, ladies, my Mercedes, hold foe in the back, two if it's fat. Keep a gat for cats that try to test me. That was a good lyric.
Yes, that was a good lyric. You know,
B.I.G.
was no joke with his lyrics, so, you know. You know, sometimes when he was rapping, he was rapping the gospel truth, and you got to listen to that man.
I hear that. Hold foe in the back, too, if it's fat. Keep a gat for cats that try to test me. Very, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
And on a lighter note, Alabaster Jones said on the King of the Hill show, man, that's the biggest mistake a pimp could make, marrying one of his hoes.
Yes, that is a huge mistake.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, YT, it's been very good to have you on the show, and this is your second time back, I believe. We hope to have you back a third.
Oh, yes, sir. Anytime you guys need me, you just give me a call, and I will call you in. I'll call in for you.
Okay, and I will tell Stein Guy hello.
Yes, tell him hello, and I'm sorry that I missed him, and, you know, good job on officiating weddings and everything, and hopefully I'll see him sometime down the line.
Okay, and I wish you a good flight back to Alaska, and be careful of what you drink at clubs. Someone could slip a roofie in your drink.
Oh, yes, let me tell you something, man. When I go to the bar, which is rare, but when I do go to the bar, I sit there and I watch the bartender pour my drink from start to finish, and I immediately make him hand it to me. He doesn't walk off, then do something else. I make him hand him or her kindly hand it to me before they walk off, because if they don't hand it to me before they walk off, I ain't drinking it.
Wow, that's very wise words for anyone. Okay.
And
well,
yes, and you know, hold on real quick. And all you ladies out there, please do the same thing. Stop taking drinks from strangers. You never know what they put in that drink. If you're going to take a drink from a stranger, make sure that you do the same thing that Y.T. Jones does. You watch that bartender pour it from start to finish, and you make the bartender hand it to you.
Ooh, Very, very wise words. Very good.
Yes, sir. Got to look out for my lady.
I hear that. Yes, so do I. Which in the future could be a robot. Yes, a robot.
A robot. Hey, get in where you fit in, Pippin.
I hear that. Well, Whitey Jones, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Back of my hands, that's how we roll. Put the DJ in the head.